As was the case with his other operations, allegations of impropriety dogged Baker and his detectives during their crackdown. He was sued 40 times for false arrest, and along with his detectives accused of taking bribes and raking off bounty money from the brokers and jumpers they nabbed. None of the lawsuits succeeded, and Baker denied he had enriched himself. A War Department official, however, admonished him that he didn't have sufficient evidence for some of his arrests. Suspicion was further fueled over $5,000 that had been raised for a testimonial fund to reward Baker for his efforts to clean up military recruiting. It turned out that several bounty brokers had donated most of the money to the fund. When the questionable source became public, Baker refused to accept the reward. He ended up jailing 66 brokers, enlistment paper forgers, and recruiting officials. The War Department was delighted. Baker had disrupted a number of broker operations, although many swindlers escaped his dragnet. Yet with the war clearly nearing a finale and the Union's need for recruits tapering off, even Baker admitted that his corruption crusade in New York had become less important by the end of March. By then, he clearly could have found better things to do with his time back in Washington. For Sharp, Grant, and senior officials in Washington, the signs poured in during the early months of 1865 that the rebellion was nearing collapse. Southern railroads were broken down. Confederate deserters roamed aimlessly about the countryside. The Van Loo Ring reported that the Richmond government had thrown nearly $4 million of paper into the market, sparking hyperinflation. The rebels had collected all the lead they could find in the city, about 900 pounds worth, to make bullets, but gunpowder was growing short to fire the rounds. Meanwhile, the Ring reported to Sharp, Lee was pleading with farmers to sell or loan cornmeal and molasses, whatever they could afford, to his army, which was running out of food. A deserter told Babcock that Lee had addressed three divisions that repeatedly refused orders to charge. The general wept like a child, the deserter claimed. Other line crossers reported that officers in Pickett's division were holding meetings with their men on whether they should continue fighting or accept Union surrender terms.